You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, we are with Merlin Rothfeld, Master Instructor at Online Trading Academy. The Online Trading Academy is delighted to have Merlin on staff, as students always appreciate how his market experience positively influences his teaching style. Merlin, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. So why is it that the vast majority of traders fail?
Well, I mean, there's several different reasons that come into play with regards to why people fail at doing this. I think that some of the statistics are like 93% of people that trade fail, which is very similar to, you know, small business owners. Bottom line, let's narrow down to A, they're doing it wrong. B, they have no plan about how to approach this as a business. And C, no strategy. So kind of where my expertise, my company's expertise steps up is showing people the real way that the markets work. And you know, the vast majority of people are swayed by the media, whether it's TV, print media, Jim Cramer, or any of these types of people who have a vested interest in their own accounts. And they're trying to manipulate people to invest in a specific way. Even our universities teach us to buy and hold, which is really not the best strategy out there. Second reason I decided was no plan. It's kind of like saying, why isn't everybody a professional chef? Well, because people don't have a plan or a recipe to make good food. And even if they have that plan or recipe to make good food, they need someone to show them the tactics and strategies to do it. So I think those are kind of the big key pieces why people fail at this. You know, everybody wants to get rich quick. That's the truth in just about every business out there. They all want to make a ton of money incredibly fast. And this business, trading and investing, is really about getting rich slowly. It's a process that takes time to learn it. You can educate yourself and understand how the system works, get a plan, get a strategy, and you'll be set independently for the rest of your life.
That sounds good. Now, what does it take to trade for a living?
Well, I would say it takes a great amount of discipline. And what I mean by discipline is one of the biggest challenges that all traders face is not necessarily analytics or the strategies or tactics that we teach. It's that inner battle, what goes on in your head, kind of how you deal with ups and downs in the market, how you control your emotions when you're in a big trade or a losing trade. So in our courses, we try to do, well, we don't try. We have live trading where you're trading with real money in our classroom to help understand how you react to those types of situations. So that's the first step, is really getting past your personal deficits, if you will. And if you don't believe that you have any psychological problems and personal issues, just go ahead and start trading your real money. I guarantee you the market will show you what your problems are right away by taking away large chunks of capital out of your account.
Yeah, I bet so.
Oh, yeah. You know, it happens all the time, Eric, where you see somebody, and I was very fortunate years ago, back in 1998, I kind of took a leap of faith. I was looking for jobs, and I didn't find anything I was happy with. And I found this information about a class out in Southern California that taught day trading at the time. And I took a leap of faith. I took this class, and I lost a ton of money at the beginning because I was so overeager to make money. And our owner of the company at the time, Al Shahar, kind of grabbed me and he says, look, you know how to trade. You sat through a lot of classes. You know what you're supposed to do. You're just not doing it. So how about this? And he kind of forced me to follow the rules. And from that point, you know, it's been this slow progression to the upside, which I think most people are trying to get to that holy land to begin with right at the first day or first trade. So in order to really trade for a living, you've got to have discipline. You have to have a very specific set of rules. And I actually wrote out a 42-page trading plan for myself. You know, I've written it over the last 15 years, which outlines everything that I can do, every single step I can make, what I can and can't do. I even outlined what has cost me the most amount of money in the past, which securities take the most from me, and which ones I make the most with. So, you know, there's a lot of study, analysis that is involved with this. But if you think of what the end goal is, does it get any better? I don't have a boss. I don't have to worry about inventory. I don't have to worry about keeping my business open or closed or, you know, not having any customers because I am the customer, I am the CEO, and all I'm doing is making sure that I control my product, which is stocks, options, commodities, futures, or whatever asset it is that I decide to trade.
Can anyone learn to trade?
Everyone can learn to trade. It's funny. I was at the beginning when I first got involved with it, I thought, no, you kind of have to be predisposed to this type of thing. You have to be a numbers person. And that's completely not true. If you go back to 1983, everyone's welcome to research this one. It kind of convinced me of it, and I see it now being a teacher for so many years. Back in 1983, there were two traders. One's name is Richard Dennis. The other's name was William Eckhart. And Richard Dennis basically, over a 10-year period, turned $1,600 into $20 million. Okay, so maybe he was predisposed to some greatness as a trader. Well, he started trading with another gentleman. These two traded together, and they kind of had an argument. And one said, look, you are born to be a trader. It's in your DNA. And the other guy says, no, I'm willing to bet you I can turn anybody into a successful trader with the right training. And it's okay. They made a bet. They ran an ad in the Wall Street Journal and several other publications. This was, again, back in 1983. So they ended up with like 15 or 20 traders in the group, and the group was called the Turtle. So if any of your listeners would like to find out, you can go look at the Turtle Traders or Turtle Trader Group. This group, collectively, since 1983, the numbers are something like $175 million. And what they did is they didn't take people who were predisposed to trading. They'd have a certain, you know, aptitude. They have to be relatively quick, the ability to follow directions. So they gave all these participants a quiz. And the ones that passed, they basically gave them $1 million each and said, you will trade this money under our guidance. If you follow these rules, you know, to the T, and you make money, we'll give you more money to trade with. If you break the rules, if you don't follow the plan that we lay out for you, then you're removed from the trading floor, you're done, your experiment with us is over. And you know, some of these guys went on to be just some of the best traders in the world, and I believe that with our educational process on my trading academy, it really boils down to the same thing. It's about having strategic market timing, understanding how the markets really work, the ability to set up a plan, a tactic, and a strategy that fits your personal profile. You know, another thing, Eric, is a lot of these people want to be day traders. You know, I've seen 80-year-old people come into our classes and want to be day traders, and I have to look at them and say, a day trader needs to be somebody who is very, very quick with their responses, I mean, instantly. And an 80-year-old individual might not be that quick. So maybe a swing trader or a longer-term position trader would be better for them. And it really is about identifying which style works for you and asset class. So each of these asset classes that we teach, options, futures, commodities, we even teach psychology and real estate, they all have different pros and cons that each participant needs to be aware of so that they can help, I guess, craft that for their specific objectives.
Today we're joined by Merlin Rothfeld, Master Instructor at Online Trading Academy here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Merlin, what is high-frequency trading?
High-frequency trading is simply, it's an evolution, is really what it is. I mean, if you look back at the markets going back to the mid-80s, if you wanted to buy or sell anything, you had to connect through a broker. You had to connect through an institution, and they were generally taking the opposite side of your trade. At the time, the spreads were much wider. Spread is the difference between what you can buy it at and what you can sell it at. And those spreads used to be over a dollar. And because of high-frequency trading, we'll call those day traders like myself back in the late 90s, what happened is those spreads went from over a dollar to down to maybe 20 cents. And then they dropped down to a nickel. And now, because of high-frequency trading, they are, you know, a penny or less. What high-frequency trading is individuals or institutions creating an algorithm, a computer program, that basically performs certain actions in the marketplace. It's all a strategy. And what it's done is it's narrowed that spread and provided a tremendous amount of liquidity. I mean, they're doing hundreds of thousands of trades per day. And on one side, I believe that high-frequency trading has gotten a bad rep because people are saying it's ruining the market. And to some extent, that may be true when markets crash or we have boom-bust cycles. But for the average investor, the person who slanders them and says bad things, they're providing you better pricing. They're providing you much better liquidity in the marketplace, and therefore I do believe that they are a necessity. And it's just simply an evolution from the old slow trader, which was your broker, to a day trader like myself. And back in the late 90s, let's be honest, Eric, I was a high-frequency trader. I was doing 500 trades a day average back in the late 90s, and I don't do that anymore. But that was simply what a high-frequency trader was. It's somebody who made a large amount of trades in a relatively short amount of time. And basically, instead of trying to catch a dollar per share, I was trying to catch maybe 10 cents per share. So that's really what they're doing now, and they're catching just a penny per share.
Should investors fear high-frequency trading?
No, I think, as I just mentioned, I think that they should look at it as something that's a benefit to the marketplace. There obviously are some components to it that we should be aware of. For example, the exchanges themselves, such as New York Stock Exchange, there's been some documentation. They're actually giving preferential treatment to institutions with their big amount of order flow. Because they're doing so many trades, they actually get better fills. And I don't have any real solid information to back that up. I guess that's a bit of speculation. So I think that's maybe one negative aspect. But really, I think it provides liquidity to the marketplace. You know, we've had a couple of flash crashes. You may remember those. And these flash crashes are the result of a system gone wrong, where the computer accidentally triggers, you know, a big sell order or something like that. That's one of the problems of a flash crash. But let's be honest, in the last 5 years, we've probably had four or five notable flash crashes that really caused problems out there. It's kind of like saying, you know, should we worry about a hailstorm? Well, no. I mean, it's going to happen, so don't worry too much about it. Just when it does happen, make sure you stay away from it. That's really, I think, all that investors need to do to be aware of these flash crashes. And more importantly, let's educate yourself on what to do in that situation. How do we handle when the market drops 15% in an hour? Those types of things need to be prepared for, just like a driver would prepare for oily roads or slick roads or something like that, and that's what we do at our school.
What would be the difference between trading and investing?
Well, I think investing is kind of the archaic method that we've been taught at in textbooks. I myself have a finance degree, and I was all excited about the concept of market flip over time and buy and hold investing. And, you know, if you look at the markets from 1930 to 2000, that's all they did. It just went up, barring one crash in 1987 and maybe a couple others in the 30s. But, you know, these were just great bull market times. I think that now the mindset has to change. Your listeners, anybody who's a trader or actively involved in the market must change the way they do things. Because look at the markets from 2000 to today. They are just one massive choppy roller coaster of 50% down moves and 80% up moves. And it's much more about being a proactive investor and managing a portfolio. So your long-term investors who are looking at their 401ks, their IRAs, letting it sit there is one of the dumbest things that you can do. You're just throwing money out the window. And for those of us who are active, we're learning to time the market. Our whole concept of our content at the school is about market timing and saying, here is a moment in time when there's a high probability that these markets may reverse and go down or may reverse and go up, depending on which direction they're going. At this stage now, we're really looking at this market having a potential sell-off here based off our market timing rules. So the investor needs to change it. I think that the word investing should be discounted now. It should be proactive investing is a term we use at our school, which means you don't have to trade every day in your long-term portfolios, your 401ks, your IRAs. What you should be doing is setting up, let's say, a monthly review and just looking at your portfolio and saying, what are my high-risk positions? Am I overweighted in anything right now, and simply move money around to time those markets better? You know, the average investor that's listening to your show right now, they probably lost 30 or 40% in the crash between 2008 and 2009. While our instructors and myself, particularly, I was on CNBC calling that these markets were going to crash. And when you have a plan in place, it makes for a much higher rate of return when you're on the right side of a trade as opposed to losing 40%. So the investor should now call themselves proactive investors. Get involved with your trading. Make sure you understand exactly what's going on in your portfolio. My guess is 85 to 90% of your listeners right now have no idea what their 401k or IRA is invested in, what mutual fund, what area of the market, what sector. Now, a trader would be somebody like myself who makes it a day-to-day business. I don't trade every day. I try, but depending on the situations, I may not make trades. You know, last trade I made, I closed one out last night, and we'll see today if maybe I'll make another one. But it's really about being more active and finding high probability, low risk trading opportunities. I'll never trade off a news or TV or somebody else's recommendation. I have a skill set that I've learned over 15 years that says I will look at the price chart of any security. I'll go off there and I will deem whether that is a trade that's going to give me a better rate of return than any other investment in the marketplace. If it is, I'll make that trade with a couple variables. I know at all times what my entry, my stop loss, and my price target is. So at no time is there any confusion, apprehension, or loss of confidence in my trade. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, and I think that this ties right back to what you asked me at the beginning, which is, you know, why do traders fail? it's fear, it's greed, and it's a lack of knowledge about how these markets really work, and that's something that we focus on in our school. And I really pride myself on conveying to new traders and even experienced traders, when their eyes open up like light bulbs and just go, wow, I get it. I had no idea this is the way it works. That's very rewarding, especially when you get emails down the road from your students and talking about their success. That's the most rewarding piece of it.
No question about it. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about Online Trading Academy?
Sure, you can go to tradingacademy.com. We've got a lot of free resources for you, and some of the concepts I talked about just a minute ago, like how the markets really work, and we have another video there that's for free, which is called The Two Most Common Mistakes That Novice Traders Make, which is very interesting. It's actually created by an institutional market maker for the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, and he's behind the scenes. You've seen The Wizard of Oz, and they pulled that curtain back. That's really what we're doing on these videos that you can get at tradingacademy.com and a lot of other great free resources for all of your listeners.
Excellent. And in conclusion, any parting advice on the topic we've been speaking about today?
Well, again, I really think it's important that we start to manage our financial future. I'm a bit of a skeptic in the marketplace. I'll be honest, I don't trust my government. I don't really trust anybody around me. And there's an old phrase that when I taught at university over in Italy, I taught at a finance university, my students coined this one for me. They said, non mi fido di nessuno, which means I don't trust anybody. And my colleague Mike McMahon says, you can trust two people in life. You can trust yourself and you can trust your mother. And do you really trust your mother? And to me, that really kind of sums it up for the trading world. Everybody's trying to get you to do something. So start today, get proactive, get out there and get the right education so that you're no longer manipulated by your neighbors, your friends, or the media with regards to the financial markets. Take control of your own money and secure your financial future. The sooner the better at tradingacademy.com.
And we certainly can take that advice and run with it. He is Merlin Rothfeld, Master Instructor at Online Trading Academy. And you can get more information at tradingacademy.com. Merlin, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
My pleasure, Eric. Thank you.
Ours as well. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.